This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it is a Friday night with you, Overtime on the Fam. My thanks to Doug Eldridge for joining us and providing some insight, some great insight on the challenges that the Washington football franchise has to deal with. We'll hear from Joe Theismann at the bottom of the hour. He was a guest of Grant and Danny, but I'm going to talk Nationals right now. That's right, baby. I was planning on doing this when it was just the rumor du jour of earlier from John Morosi, who is one of the reporters for MLB Network and MLB.com. He also does some hockey stuff. When he put out that Washington was pursuing free agent infielder second baseman DJ LeMahieu, who went from Colorado to the Yankees and, you know, has always been a very, very, very good hitter, right? But now, and I missed this because we were doing the show and we had some issues and whatever, Morosi also reports that the Nats are considering a trade for 2016 NL MVP, Chris Bryant. Now, we've heard that name before. There have been rumors about Chris Bryant and the Nationals' interest. So my guess is, just my guess, that this is coming from a high-ranking source. And if we want to deduce who that high-ranking source might be, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to figure it out, right? I don't love to play that game, but, you know who I'm probably talking about, right? So why would we dispute it? Why would we dismiss it? Carter Kieboom, 202. He slashed 202, 344, 212. Not good. No bueno. No home runs, 33 games. Yikes. Luis Garcia was a nice surprise, I think, right? To me, it was. He slashed 276, 302, 366. A couple of home runs in 40 games. You know, Howie Kendrick's not coming back. You have Starlin Castro that you could plug over at third base, but do you I guess if Luis Garcia is your option and the thought, then, you know, you're still going to have to upgrade one of those positions. And more, or just as importantly, I think you also need somebody, if you can ideally get not only a bat to maybe fill one of those two holes, but also think about it. You need help at first base too. We don't know if Ryan Zimmerman's coming back. I think he is, but he chose to not play this year for more than good reasons. But he's not under a contract, right? And hasn't played in well over a year by the time we get back to it. And who knows, again, if he's going to want to do that. So you have the Kieboom situation, who, again, hasn't developed like they were hoping. You have the Garcia situation, okay? To me, I would be more inclined normally to go out and get a LeMahieu as opposed to trying to trade some of my assets. But in the Bryant case, that's the more natural need, right? Again, a former MVP, a Cubs franchise that seems to be rebuilding a little bit. Theo out, Jed Hoyer, who has been with them and, you know, is still the general manager essentially, but he's now the team president. They could be certainly looking to wheel and deal. You have Bryant going into the final year of his arbitration eligibility, right? So his cost is only controlled financially for one more year. So maybe, just maybe, the Cubs can't get as much because a team that knows that they're acquiring a guy like Bryant knows that you really can't make that deal with only one year of controllability, right? You don't make a deal where you surrender some of your top assets for a guy that you only control financially for one year, especially in a case like the Nationals, quite honestly, where they have not been good at securing their own with the exception of pitchers, right? They were good at securing their own in Steven Strasburg. They surprisingly got Patrick Corbin. I think most people were still surprised when they landed Max Scherzer. They've been very good in that area. But they have not been good at securing their own, i.e. Anthony Rendon and Bryce Harper. We know that, right? And that's hurt them. And they don't have those bats in the middle of the lineup. And when Zimmerman obviously doesn't come back, and when some of the guys that they chose, you know, Eric Thames, disappointment, when Victor Robles doesn't come around and hit, you know, you have all sorts of issues, protection issues for Juan Soto. No Adam Eaton's coming, all sorts of questions, right? There is no doubt that the Nationals need bats. Now, they also need a corner outfielder, right? Whether it's left field if they're going to move Soto to right, or right field if they're going to keep Soto in left. So they're not just one player or one bat away. I think they're two bats away. Now, me personally, again, I would rather them get a player like LeMahieu, because, again, you only have to pay for him. You only have to pay for him. You don't have to surrender assets and payroll. Right? You only have to pay for him. And I know there's the luxury tax and all that stuff. I got it. But LeMahieu can play second. He can play third. And he can play first. Chris Bryant, right? Chris Bryant can only play, I mean, I'm sure he could work on another, but I'm trying to remember. Third base, I know. I believe he played a little outfield early in his career, I want to say, but my memory is so bad with everything that I've got to remember that I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, you know, they still list him as playing outfield, and I'll have to double-check during the next break when and how many games he's played in the outfield. But nevertheless, I mean, you could theoretically, if you wanted to, you could theoretically put him out in the outfield as well. But, I mean, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. I mean, if you're trading for Chris Bryant, you're getting him to play third base. And because you're hoping, you're banking on Chris Bryant, who only played 34 games last year, injuries, who's 28, rebounding to be the type of hitter that he was in his absolute prime, and that he's not past his prime. Again, he was an MVP. And when he's been in the running for MVP and a rookie of the year. I mean, this is a guy who has mauled pitching. 39 home runs, 102 RBI in his MVP year. In his rookie year, 26 and 99. His third year, 29 and 73. All right, that's not good. And that's the problem for me, is after that, right, he went his first 3 years, he played 150-plus games. Then his fourth year, 2018, down to 102. and his numbers obviously suffered a little bit. 13 for 52. He had all sorts of issues. And hit only 272. In 2019, he was back up to 147 games played, 634 plate appearances, 543 at-bats. Great. 31-77. I mean, you take that production, right? And that was, again, 2019. But then in this shortened 2020 year, back down to 34 games out of 60, hit only 206. Four home runs, 11 RBI. So again, is he in his prime still? Theoretically, yeah, we think so. Is he going to be able to stay healthy? Don't know. You've had two injury-shortened years. I mean, I could say that about a lot of players. But if I've got to surrender, you know, it depends on what kind of assets we're talking about here. Now, if we're talking about Carter Kieboom, like if Chicago wants him, and we're talking about Chris Bryant for Carter Kieboom and, I don't know, throw in a pitcher or whatever, and I don't know if that would be good enough, then you probably do that, right? That would make sense. And they think, well, hey, look, Carter Kieboom's got a chance to grow here. And if you can make that deal, as long as it's not a top prospect involved, as long as it's not Carter Kieboom and Luis Garcia, say, then you make that deal. And then, if you make that deal, then maybe you still go out and add LeMahieu, if you could. Now, again, this is going to take some money, and you're going to have to, like, maybe Bryant, because, you know, he doesn't bounce back, maybe doesn't cost you as much as everybody once thought, right? But LeMahieu's going to cost you some money, a lot of money. Hit 364 last year, 327 the year before that, 348 a couple of years before that. I mean, he hits for average. He plays a lot. He's versatile. He knew everything. And it was more than just at Coors Field in Colorado. Now, Yankee Stadium is obviously a little bit of a bandbox too, but you get my point. DJ LeMahieu can flat out hit. And again, versatile. So I'd, like, of the two choices, if it's one or the other, I'd much rather have DJ LeMahieu for many reasons that I just outlined. But if I can get Chris Bryant and DJ LeMahieu, and it only cost me Carter Kieboom and, say, some middling pitching prospect, and I don't mean to dismiss anybody, so that's why I'm not going to name any names, and I don't know their farm system well enough, but, I mean, they draft a pitcher in the first round basically every year. And I know, obviously, they traded away a bunch of good prospects to the White Sox for Adam Eaton, but Adam Eaton got you as a key cog in the lineup, and he got you to a World Series win. You know, so ultimately, no matter who they gave away in that deal, Dunning, Giolito, and Reynaldo Lopez, you know, ultimately the deal worked out. Ultimately. And now we'll see what happens with the rest of those guys and the rest of their career. It probably won't look as great, but he got you a World Series. What I don't want to do is surrender assets and have to pay a guy a boatload. Meaning if they surrender assets for a guy like Chris Bryant, and then he has a bounce back year and he has a monster year, and say he plays 145 games this year for the Nationals, and he hits 28 home runs and drives in 105 RBI, you know, he's going to want $25 million a year, if not more. So I don't want to do that, even though the short term would be great. And I don't know if the Nationals would do that. Because the Nationals, again, have been notoriously frugal when it comes to paying everyday players. They have. So, again, if I'm going to spend money, I'd rather it be on DJ LeMahieu if it's one or the other. I'd like both if I could swing that and make that happen and know that I can get both under contract. You know, you give LeMahieu a four-year deal worth, I don't know, $80 million a year or $80 million total. And if you can get Chris Bryant and lock up, you know, his first 2 years of free agency and kind of work it in a three-year deal, maybe, I don't know, $60 million or whatever. And I'm just throwing out some numbers just off the top of my head. you know, then you got these guys lined up. You got these guys lined up for a little bit. Real quickly, and then I know we have to break. LeMahieu last year played 11 games at first, 37 at second, 11 at third. Thank you. I want him. Please. Please bring me DJ LeMahieu because I need a first baseman. I need a third baseman. I need a corner outfielder. And I need somebody that doesn't always swing for the fences and doesn't always believe in this launch angle bull crap and where we just swing and miss and strike out every other at bat. No thanks. I want somebody that puts the bat on the damn ball and gets line drives and has a little pop and knows how to be a major league hitter in the National League and the American League. Yes, he's playing a couple of bandboxes. He'll be fine. Maybe he won't hit 360. If he hits 325, I'm good. Thank you. Please get me DJ LeMahieu on a silver platter, please. He cost me nothing but money. The Learners have $5.5 billion. They have the money. All right. We're with you on the Fan. Your thoughts on that if you want to hop on. 800-636. I just said on, like I'm from Baltimore. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Rooster with the baseball talk on a Friday night in the middle of November. Away we go, baby, on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, back here, Overtime on the Fan. We're brought to you by Burlington Stores. This year, home for the holidays means more. Burlington has wow deals to turn every room into a winter wonderland. Save on dinnerware, bakeware, and serveware. Up to 60% off of other retailers' prices every day at Burlington. Love the deals. Appreciate them being with us right here on the Fan. All right, right back to the phones we go. We'll get a little Nationals talk in, and then we'll go back to the Washington football team. We'll have Joe Theismann with Grant and Danny coming up in just a little bit. Let's start off with Chris in Hyattsville on line five. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Rooster, listen, I just heard about this deal or potential that they're in, and I've always thought that Chris Bryant was going to be someone that the Nationals would have their eyes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great OPS guy. He gets good at bats. He's not just a slugger. I mean, he hits for average. He hits for power. Decent fielder. He could probably slot in at first base as well. I mean, that's where his career arc is heading anyway. So, but, you know, I'd like you would love to have DJ LeMahieu. And I'd like to have Michael Brantley or, you know, maybe Marcus Semien or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. But I have always criticized you for saying that the learners are cheap. I don't think they're cheap. I just think they're extremely frugal. Every Major League Baseball team lost money last year, millions mm-hmm. of dollars last year. Mm-hmm. So of all seasons, I don't think this is the year that Ted Lerner is going to open the bank book to sign a bunch of free agents, because there's no guarantee that they'll have any gate right. revenue next
right.
season.
Right.
So if you trade for Bryant and his salary is already negotiated, it's controlled.
Mm-hmm.
This is a couple of other things too. Normally I don't like short-term moves, but I think we really only got realistically one or two more seasons of dominant Scherzer and Strasburg.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the team is looking at all of these things together and saying, we might have one more chance at this. What's missing? And that's a legitimate power bat threat to complement Soto.
So, let me jump in here. What you're saying is basically trade it, as opposed to spending big money on LeMahieu, $20, $25 million a year or whatever it is that they would have to give up, even though they don't have to trade a player for him, that you would almost rather go with Bryant because based on Bryant's career, and you're absolutely right, even though he's had a couple of years with injuries, and that's a problem, that he's only, you don't have to give him a long-term contract if you choose not to, because he's under right. a negotiated price, as you mentioned, in the last year of arbitration. You could, if you want, if he never rebounds, get rid of him at the end of next year. If it costs you Carter Kieboom, well, then it costs you Carter Kieboom. There's no guarantee Carter Kieboom turns into whatever they thought he was going to be.
Look, the Cubs are too smart for that. I don't think Carter Kieboom is the chip that they want. I think it's probably Victor Robles. So now, do we still have faith in Robles? It would be really tough, but I would trade Robles for another shot at a World Series because I think that's how good. I think that's how good Chris Bryant could be, and in addition to this lineup.
The problem with that is with no Michael A., with Adam Eaton gone, now you're opening up another issue in the outfield. Now you need a corner outfielder and a center fielder, don't you?
I mean, he's a great center fielder, but, he was a sub-average replacement player at the plate last season.
I hear you.
And there's no guarantee that he's ever going to develop. He's a little bit undersized at the major league level. Especially for, an outfielder. So I don't know. I mean, maybe the scouts have some concerns about Robles long-term. I still think he can turn it around, but I would love to see Chris Bryant in a Nats uniform.
I got you. All right, Chris, I appreciate you as always. It hurts Chris when he has to agree with me. I'm just teasing. Vic, where do you want me to go here? Do you want me to do Washington football, or do you want me to – All right, let's go to Chris in Damascus on line three. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, that's three Chris's in a row. I totally disagree with that last caller. First of all, I want LeMay, if anything, LeMahieu. There was skepticism because his batting average was whatever it was when he from Colorado
right.
to New York, but he proved it in New York. I can't believe they can get their hands on him. I didn't hear that story, so you have to give me more information.
Yeah, that was well. It's just that they're pursuing him or that they're interested.
Oh, who
in him.
Wouldn't? Who
yeah,
wouldn't?
Absolutely. And because he plays three different positions, I mean, of course, it would make all the sense in the world.
I when it comes to hitters, and no way, Robles is staying right here. I'm not Bryant. Him and Harper, those Vegas boys, and they're old. No, I go young. But anyway, first of all, before I get too lost, talking baseball, you made my night. You are wonderful. I love that. And I was sitting here half getting ready to go to sleep. And you said Nationals, and it made me feel warm because it's kind of cold tonight.
I'm glad.
But anyway,
I'm glad I made you happy. By the way, LeMahieu is 32. It's not like he's a spring chicken.
Didn't know that quite. Yeah. But the walks to strikeouts on batters, because that's what Rendon was very good at. Didn't strike out a lot. But anyway, and then I really want that four starter. Because just as I think you stated, Strasburg and Scherzer aren't,
Yeah, no doubt.
I want a solid four starter, build up the middle, and LeMahieu can play. Man, that bad. I don't know what to say about Castro. And I'm sorry, I'm just rambling here.
That's okay. Yeah, let me jump in because I gotta hit the bottom of the hour break because we have the replay of Joe Theismann. But I appreciate the phone call. I mean, there are certainly some intriguing options here. There's no doubt. It again will really depend on do the learners, to Chris's and Hyattsville's point, do the learners want to spend a lot of money on a guy like LeMahieu, who's not going to cost them anything else but money, in a year after where they had no fans, number one, and there's no guarantee for fans this year, although we hope, we think, but it's never going to be 40,000, or at least for now, it's not going to be 40,000, I can tell you that. 800-636-1067, Joe Theismann replay next. And then we'll try and squeeze in a couple of calls. I know Dominique and Matthew, if they can hang on, we'll get to them before the end of the show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, back here on a Friday night, it is Overtime on the Fan. I'm Chris Russell. Earlier today, Redskins legend quarterback Joe Theismann joined my pals Grant and Danny right here on the Fan. Why don't we take a listen back?
Joe, good to have you back on the show. How you been?
Good to always be with you, Grant. Hi, Danny. Good to catch up with you guys as well.
Yes, sir.
725 yards the last 2 weeks for Alex Smith. We had you on so many times during his multi-year recovery to talk about, you know, at different benchmarks, the likeliness that we saw him again. They're humming, throwing the football, maybe better than they did before he got hurt. This is incredible,
yeah.
Joe. What do you make of this?
I think it's absolutely sensational. I know just from personal experience, it took me 2 years to really get back to where I felt like I had my legs under me, literally, and my arm felt good. And, of course, it was, you know, at that time I was 37, so there wasn't a chance to play again. But I'm so excited for Alex and watching the way he's performed. I mean, I really focus on his mobility, his setting up in the pocket, his being able to protect himself. Those are the things that I watch during the course of the game. And I haven't seen anything that's given me any hint that he has an issue or a problem. And it looks like the fastball's back. He's still 36 years old, so it's not going to be like it was when he was 26. But
I mean, he throws the ball well. He moves around well. And, you know, now we need to be able to, you know, it's one thing to put up numbers. It's another thing to put up wins. And Alex has done everything he can to help the football team win.
Joe, what are you seeing from him just in terms of some of the subtle differences that I wouldn't notice that you would, having played the position at such a high level, in terms of him maybe as a passer? You mentioned the athleticism. That's always going to start to dwindle as guys get older. Time is undefeated, plus you add in the injury. Seems like he's a slightly different player to me, but I've been really impressed with the way he's thrown the ball. What have you seen there?
Well, the big thing is you know, people get Danny, people confuse the throwing mechanism with just the arm. Mm-hmm. But the throwing mechanism is, it's the push off. It's like hitting a golf ball. You know, you've got, it starts with your legs. It starts with the rotation of your hips. And then, you know, you load your arm, and Alex has a little bit of a hitch when he lets it go, but it's his, and it's been his for God knows how many years. But, you know, then all of a sudden the arm, it becomes the slingshot, that becomes the arm of the slingshot. And for me, I know when I was trying to come back, if you picture the throwing mechanism as 100%, part of it is your legs, part of it is the rotation of your hips, part of it is the turn of your shoulders, part of it is your arms. So it's not just the arm. I found like I relied on my arm so much it started to get sore in different places I'd never had it before. What I see in Alex is I see a fluid move through the process. I see him set up and looking strong in the setup, which then again transfers all the way to the delivery. I see when he's got people in his face, it doesn't bother him at all. He doesn't see, I call it ghosts. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't move around. He hangs in the pocket to a degree, sometimes I think a little too long for him. And then the big thing is when he gets on the move, he still has the velocity to be able to turn his hips, push off his legs, and be able to deliver the ball where he wants with accuracy. And so it's those little subtle things that he's able to do. And the big thing is it was movement. And it wasn't movement to the right. It's if he has to be flushed to the left, I guess you might call a little hitch in my giddy up. You know, people look at me and I sort of list a little bit because the right leg is shorter and it looks like I'm sauntering more than walking. I don't see any of that in Alex. I think, first of all, credit to him, the effort he put in, credit to the medical staff that really put him back together. Robin, our orthopedic surgeon with the Washington football team, I mean, she was there all the way through it. She's the one that really made the decision 2 years ago to give it a little bit more time so that we could see if they could save Alex's leg. It's a subtle thing, but it's so important to where we are today. But again, think of the throwing mechanism as a full body process, not just the arm.
Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. This story is so amazing, and Alex Smith, from a sports standpoint, is a heroic figure. He really is. I say that, and feel free to disagree with what I'm about to say next, Joe, but he'll be 37 next year, and there is a possibility that they could go into next season with him as their starting quarterback as well. I'd be fine with that if he is a bridge to whatever quarterback that they have drafted in the first round, let's say. But to me, it is time to find the quarterback of the future. I don't think it's Haskins, and at 36 going on 37 with what he's been through, I think Alex Smith is a bridge more than he is the next guy. I'm curious if you think they have to draft a guy in the first round this year, if you think Smith could be the guy for a couple more years after this. Like, where are you at on all this now moving forward?
I think that there's positions of need on our football team. I think offensive line is one. If they can get – I mean, this draft was loaded with wide receivers, and we've seen different ones later in the rounds, you know, that have played very well. I think you have to look at the quarterback position because of the instability that it is. Alex is 37. You can't deny that. Now, how efficient is he going to be at 38 going forward? So, I mean, that's something you need to prepare for. I have not given up on Dwayne. You know, we still don't know what he's capable of doing. The coaches made a decision. He's going to have a chance to compete for the job. Hopefully we'll have OTAs and mini camps and everything else to be able to grow through for him. And then can Kyle come back off of his injury, and how effective will he be? Because he moves around a fair amount. So you've got one with age, you've got one with injury, and one with uncertainty. I think quarterback has to be an area where we need to look. Now, the thing is I'm looking at all the teams in the National Football League. You're going to need – there's about six teams. Chicago's going to be looking. The Jets are going to be looking. I think it's a position for us to certainly consider in the first round. There's other teams as we look around this league and say, okay, you know, what position are we going to fall in? Now this lends itself to the next crazy discussion is, well, you know, if the Washington football team loses enough games, they're going to have a shot at Trevor Lawrence or this person. I happen to love Zach Wilson out with BYU. I just think the kid is, he's quickness reminds me of a Kyler Murray. His arm and accuracy are just uncanny at this level. I personally think he's the best thrower of the football of the entire bunch in the college season from what we've been able to see. Obviously, some haven't played. But I think that is definitely a position the Washington football team is going to have to consider. You know, absolutely you have to look at it because, like I said, you've got age, uncertainty, and an injury. You'd be foolish not to consider it.
Why haven't you given up on Haskins yet? Going to him a little more.
Because I don't really believe that we can evaluate somebody in this particular scenario that we're in with the pandemic. He had a chance to work basically very limitedly in the offense that was run. I think he physically has the ability to be able to play the game. He certainly has the arm. I don't know about all the other things. The only people that know all the quote-unquote intangibles are the coaches. And Ron made a decision to sit him. Didn't just sit him, but he moved him to three. There had to be a reason. Now, let's just, as a comparison, let's talk about Ryan Tannehill, right? When he was in Miami, what did we hear about him? Oh, the guy can't play, for crying out loud. You know, he's a bust. There you go, another bust. He can't play. He's a game away from the Super Bowl. He gets himself a huge contract, and he's playing really solid football in Tennessee. So you don't know what or if can get somebody going to a point where they can compete and carry it over from a practice field onto a field. I believe next year, if he's here, which I believe he should be, because you know, if you move him, what do you have? What are you looking at? And look at the quarterback market. I have a list of all 90-plus quarterbacks in this league. There's not a whole lot out there. So it isn't like, okay, we're gonna release Dwayne or we're going to move Dwayne and we're going to get X. Well, X isn't that good. So I think it's best for him to be able to fight through it. He's a young guy. My gosh, he's got years ahead of him if he can do the things he needs to do to get better at his trade. This is a job. It's just like, you know, you guys just don't walk into the studio and sit down on the air and just start talking about things. You do your research. You study. And that's exactly what you have to do at every profession and at the quarterback profession even more because all eyes are on you.
Joe Theismann with us here. I'm
so
sorry,
that's,
Joe, go
that's
ahead.
The most important thing. So that's the reason I haven't given up on.
Joe, what's crazy about this team, a lot of the numbers that Smith has put up over these last couple of games have come as they're furiously coming back into games. And I'm just baffled as to why they're getting off to these slow starts. What are you seeing? And B, were you ever on a team like that? Just thinking back even into your college days where you guys started slow for whatever reason, and what was the fix?
We went through a 6-10 season in 1980. So I've been, that was the worst that we did with the Washington football team. This team, it's, you know, the game is physical, but it's also mental. You can't put the ball on the ground. You can't turn the ball over. You can't make penalties. You have to understand. I remember sitting with Bill Parcells just as a sidebar to this, okay? Bill Parcells used to study the officials as well as the opponents. What does the officiating crew call? You watched that game last night? They called holding penalties, but they didn't call a lot of defensive penalties. You'll notice there wasn't a lot of pass interference.
Right.
So I would say that particular crew looks for you to grab somebody, but they don't necessarily penalize you for snuggling up to somebody. And I think that our young defensive linemen, it's all part of studying. What do the officials call? I mean, what Chase Young did is, unfortunately, in everybody's eyes, was not a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct roughing the quarterback. But in this day and age, you got to understand what they're going to call. You go low on a quarterback, it's 15. You push a quarterback. If a quarterback is scrambling and you push him to the ground, It's 15. So that was a lesson I'm sure he learned in that particular game last week. But the thing is what kills us is, you know, what, we're the only team in the National Football League to not score in the first quarter. I believe maybe we got three last week, but that was it. You have to be efficient with the ball. You have to be smart. The game's as much mental as it is physical. And I think we make too many mental mistakes. We put the ball on the ground. And sure, Alex could throw for another 300 or 400 if we keep digging holes for ourselves. If you're down 24-7, what are you going to do? You know, Antonio Gibson, to me, is a heck of a weapon if you get a chance to use him for four quarters. But it doesn't work that way. I mean, they have got to figure out a way, and I don't know the answer because I'm not around it. And, you know, I don't even get a chance to watch practices or anything else. But it's got to be up to each individual, I believe, to be able to make their mind up that they're not going to be the ones to make mistakes. You know, I used to have a sign in my locker that I would glance at before I went out on the football field. And it was real simple. You never need to be the reason a team wins. You just can't be the reason it loses. And that's just not physical. That's mental.
I love that.
You know, I mean, it's the bottom line. I mean, that's it. And heaven knows what our record would be. I mean, look at the games we've lost by 1 point, by 3 points, by 3 points. Cincinnati is a team. I said this particular stretch that we're in, we matched up pretty much toe-to-toe with everybody. Barring the mistakes, we probably could have won them. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, whatever. But on the other side of that is if you just keep not respecting the football, if you keep making stupid mistakes, you're not going to win. The good news is it's correctable. The bad news is it's happening too much.
Joe Theismann on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You can see why we love having him on the show to talk QBs. Joe, good catching up with you, buddy. We got to do it again soon. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, listen, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Stay safe, and we'll get through all this craziness.
All right, once again, that was Washington legendary quarterback Joe Theismann with Grant Paulson and Danny Arruye. You can listen to that at thefandc.com, again, if you'd like, or on the radio.com Rewind app. We're back with you on Overtime on The Fan. All right, so here's the deal. We have
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About 3 minutes left, so I'm going to go right back to the calls because we've got a couple of guys that have been on hold, so we're going to just be short and brief and get everybody in. Dominique on line one in Norfolk on The Fan. What's up, Dominique? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Same hole here, chilling. I just got one question for you. Yeah. I'm going to make it fast, though. So, look, this is what it looks like to me. Tell me if I'm just tripping here. Okay, so I'm a long-time Washington football fan, you know what I'm saying, since the Boston days. But why does it seem like we let the team beat us in the first half and then figure out if we're good enough to come back, and then we'd be like, oh, we're good enough to come back. Let's let them win. Yeah. Am I just tripping?
Yeah, since the Boston days you've been around? Is that right? Oh, he's gone. He said he's been a fan since the Boston days. 1937. Get out of here. I mean, they suck in the first half because they, I don't want to say they don't come prepared to play, but some teams need a kick in the teeth before they actually wake up. I think that's this team. Under Jay Gruden, teams were great in the first half for the most part, and they sucked down the stretch of the season, and in the second half of games, they would always wilter. Kind of reverse. Let's go to Matthew in D.C. Matthew, thanks for hanging in there. I've got about a minute or so for you. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. By the way, nice hot stove talk there in the last couple segments. So here's the question I have. I want to be really specific about what Logan Paulson said. He said that the defense is doing too much, right? He said that the people are committing into the interior drop, into the interior run because they think they need to do extra work. You've watched enough football. You know enough of this. What do the coaches need to do with the players to prevent that from happening so that the defense doesn't overcommit like that?
It's a great question. I don't know if I have a great answer. I mean, what I would probably say is they are going to have to, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I'm sure they would disagree, maybe say, okay, you know what? Not everybody is in their proper gaps. Not everybody is playing downhill as aggressively as we want. So maybe loosen up some of the gap control and try and get them again to think less, play more, and operate more going downhill. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe the whole gap control, the whole gap seize thing is too much of a problem for these guys, and they're playing tentative and not attacking. That's the best guess I can get. I'm sure they would disagree with that. But thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it. I'm glad you enjoyed the hot stove talk as well. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to JT the Vic. Thanks to Chris Dowdell. Welcome him back to the Error Radio Station. Thanks to Doug Eldridge and also Logan Paulson. Thanks to you guys for calling, listening, being a part of the show. Joe Theismann, Grant, and Danny as well. Listen on the radio.com Rewind app and have yourself a great Friday night. See you on Sunday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.